In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, before we get into today's episode, I just want to remind listeners that we are a weekly show, and we've got a whole bunch of really interesting episodes coming up over the next few weeks. Next week, we're talking to a doctor who treated a patient the media dubbed the Toxic Lady. You might have read about this case or seen TikTok videos about it, but basically the story was that in 1994, a cancer patient was wheeled into an emergency room in California, and the doctors treating her, they started to pass out one by one. We'll hear from one of those doctors and how she was left with long-term health effects, and we'll find out exactly what happened in the hospital room. That's next week on What It Was Like. Here's today's episode. Hey, I'm Julian Morgans, and you're listening to What It Was Like, the show that asks people who have lived through big, dramatic events what it was like. So last week, I talked to one of the creators of the Blair Witch Project. You might have heard the episode. There was a section at the end of the conversation where we got onto the topic of luck. Now, this guy's name's Dan Myrick, and he had some opinions on luck because, as you'd imagine, he'd made this cheap little indie film that had blown up and made millions. So we were talking about luck, and I just started thinking about what a bizarre concept it is. Just I guess the idea of it, whether you have it or not, whether it even exists, or whether it's just the way that our human brains find meaning in all the chaos. And I also find it interesting how luck can have like this spiritual or religious connotation. You don't have to look too far to find people who believe that good luck or bad luck is preordained, and that just by virtue of things going well or badly, you're experiencing God's master plan. So yeah, I walked away from that episode and I wanted to do more on luck because I find it so interesting. So today we're going to do a story about a gold nugget, because really, what's a better physical manifestation of luck than a gold nugget? The story starts with a couple, an Australian couple named Bep and Kevin Hillier. Actually, Bep was born in the Netherlands, so you'll hear today that she's got a bit of a Dutch accent. Anyway, they lived in an old school bus with four children. And one night in 1980, Kevin had a dream that he would find a gold nugget. And then exactly 12 days later, he found an enormous gold nugget just like the one in his dream. And they called it the Hand of Faith. And to this day, it's the fourth biggest nugget that anyone has ever found in Australian soil. Sadly, Kevin passed away a few years ago, but Bep's going to tell us the story today, which, as you'll hear, she attributes to divine intervention. And personally, look, I'm not religious. I'm maybe a bit of a cynic about, you know, God and about a lot of things. And especially this idea that I think someone can dream up a nugget and then they can find it. So in all honesty, I went into this story with one eyebrow raised. But I got to say, as we got to the end, I sort of found myself believing. Not about God, but just the details in this story. And I think you'll agree that there's a little detail in today's episode that's a bit maybe just a little bit spooky. It feels to me like a little peek under some cosmic curtain. Anyway, keep listening and we'll get to that. So now I bring you Bephelia. Bep, welcome to the podcast.
I'm quite honored to be here.
I'm glad. I'm honored to be with you. I just want to briefly just set the context. Tell me about where you're from and what's your background?
I was born in Holland, one of 12 children. I went to Australia at 25, 26 years of age for a holiday. And before I went back to Holland, I met Kevin. And 9 days later, he asked me to marry him. And in June, we got married.
So tell me about Kevin. What kind of a man is he?
A fair dinkum Aussie. No bullshit. Can I say that?
Of course. Oh. Yeah.
He was down to earth, straightforward, humorous. He had a good humor.
Beb describes her husband, Kevin, as a jack of all trades and a master of none. He had jobs fixing fences, milking cows, and selling cars. For a while, he tried to run his own business, but they had to declare bankruptcy. So then the family moved to Western Australia so that Kev could work on a sheep farm. And that's where he saw an old school bus for sale. And he bought it so that the family could drive around Australia.
So we spent the next year renovating the bus, putting in four bunks. And I said to Kevin, well, we need some things. I need blankets and things like that. So we had a life insurance at that stage. And I said to Kevin, so we're cashing the life insurance, so we have a bit of extra money. And he said, okay. So we got $1,500, I think. And I then bought my bed and things. And then I prayed, Lord, whatever Kevin's going to do with the rest of the money, will you guide him? And he said, I'm going to buy a metal detector.
When you first heard those words, I'm going to buy a metal detector.
I went back to prayer. I said, Lord, a metal detector? I said, what do you want to do with a metal detector? Anyway, bought a metal detector. But I trust God. So,
as you'll hear today, Bep is a religious woman. It's how we get into our later discussion about destiny versus luck. But right now, all you need to know is that Kevin had done some gold prospecting as a kid with his own dad. So to him, a metal detector seemed like a totally reasonable way to spend the last of their life insurance money.
And he started walking with his metal detector for the first time. And it took a few months before he actually picked up something. But he started to pick up little nuggets. And I always went out with him, but I had no detector. But when he had enough gold to buy the other detector, he went to a shop and put the gold down. He said, use the gold, I would like another detector. Anyway, so now we were both detecting.
Kevin Bepp used to go out between 9 and 3 p.m. while the kids were at school. They'd stomp through the dusty, scrappy woodland that covers the Victorian goldfields, both with their headphones on, waving their metal detector rods over the soil. And when the detector picked something up, they'd hear a beep. They'd find little bits of gold sometimes, which would buy them groceries or pay the rent at the caravan park. Until one day, their luck changed dramatically.
So we had a couple of hours after lunch to go to King Gower. So we went behind the schoolhouse, we went detecting. We found little nuggets there before, me too, you know, in the bush. So we were both detecting. And you wear earphones when you detect. Mm. And I thought I heard Kevin talking or screaming, but I kept on detecting.
Right, because you had your earphones.
I had the earphones on.
So you couldn't quite hear it
clearly. So for the second time, I heard this scream. I get emotional. For the second time, I heard this scream. And I thought, well, maybe something happened. So I put my earphones off and put my detector in the car and go find Kevin. And I find him crying. He's got a hole about that big. And in the middle of the hole, there's like a little bit of gold showing.
Like a little finger, like a bit of tip of
like
the iceberg.
The top of the nugget. And he said, he was crying. And he said, darling, he said, we're filthy rich. And I'm going to put my mother up in luxury for the rest of her life. That's also what he said.
He was going to put his mom up in luxury.
Yeah. luxury because your podcast is called What Was It Like? Mm. And the first word that comes to mind, very emotional. But it was not only because he found a nugget, but I have to go back.
Beth wanted to go back at that point to tell me about her husband's dream. It had been 12 days earlier, and until that moment, digging up the gold, he hadn't told her that he'd had a dream. He'd only told her in that moment, right then, when they were scraping the dirt away from the sides of this colossal chunk of gold. That's when he decided to tell her that a dream had predicted the whole thing.
He dreamed that he found a nugget, and he went to his friend. He said, I had a funny dream last night, and he got a piece of paper and a pencil, and he drew the dream on a piece of paper.
He drew the nugget.
He drew the nugget, just like a nugget, like the hand of fate on a piece of paper, and put his name on the paper, and they both signed it with their signature. And 2 weeks later, when he found a nugget, that nugget, the hand of fate, it was exactly like in his dream.
What Beb means is that he got his neighbor to witness his drawing because the dream was so vivid, it felt like a premonition. But to me, what's truly wild is that if you compare Kev's drawing of his dream nugget with the real nugget, you'll see that the two are weirdly similar. They've both got this long, rounded base like a fist, and then these two little prongs held up on the end, like almost like fingers. Imagine one of those gestures that priests make when they're crossing themselves. The prayer hand is the general shape of Kev's drawing, and it was the general shape of the nugget, and it's the reason why they called this thing the hand of faith. But not just that. The other thing is that in the drawing, Kev even drew a little section sticking up, you know, just slightly below the soil, like the tip of an iceberg, which was exactly how they found it. And of course, I know there's a lot of you out there thinking, bullshit. Like, he didn't tell his wife. He clearly made this dream up and then retrofitted it into the story. And that's fair. You know what? I've had these thoughts too, and I have no bulletproof evidence one way or another. But I guess, look, here's the things that I've been thinking through. First of all, there's the neighbor's date and signature on the drawing. I guess that seems legit. You can actually see the drawing yourself. If you go to www.handoffaith.com, you'll find a PDF there of the original drawing. And then there's the fact that the neighbor was quoted pretty widely in original press coverage, and he always backed up this story about Kev coming over to, you know, talk to him, and they both dated the drawing. So I guess that's compelling. But I think for me, personally, the most convincing evidence for Kev's dream is the fact that he decided to mention this to his wife as it was happening. Okay, so put yourself in that headspace for a moment. Let's say you're digging up a gold nugget, like a life-changing gold nugget, and it's probably, realistically, one of the most exciting things that's ever happened to you. Now imagine what it would take to be in that headspace, to be scraping the dirt off the sides of this nugget, and think to yourself, you know what? I'm just going to make up a crazy nonsense story to my wife just to dial up the drama here. Like, imagine, who does that? You know, who has the bandwidth to think of a story while digging up a piece of gold? That is some serious compulsive liar behavior. And sure, look, there are people who act like that, but I don't get the impression that was Kev. People who behave like that, their wives don't have very nice things to say about them. And, you know, that's kind of not what I'm seeing in this family. So look, I don't know, but on the balance, I'm reluctantly convinced that the dream happened.
Why didn't he tell you about the dream?
I have no idea. Maybe he thought I wouldn't believe him.
I have
no idea why he didn't tell me. I only found out after those little bit of gold was showing, and he said, it's just us like in my dream. And that is when I found out about the dream.
So he told you about this dream while you were looking down into this little pit with this little prong of gold sticking out of the dirt.
Yeah. So then we were sitting down there and crying and crying and digging and levering it out very carefully and lifting it up, and it just didn't seem to end, and it come deeper and deeper and deeper. And then eventually we could lift it out. But Kevin has had this back operation by then, and I suggest maybe we should fill it in and get some help because it was very heavy.
Yeah, it's a giant chunk of gold. It's heavy.
He said, I'll get it out.
He was determined.
So we got it out, We were sweating. It was a hot day. We were dusty. We were full of red dust. We carefully walked to the boot of the car and put it in the boot of the car. We got into the car. We had to go home because the kids are coming home from school by that time. So we drive down and we drive down past a bank. And Keller said, he put it in the bank? I said, I don't know. Okay, went past the police office. Police? Nah. So we went home with a nugget in the boot of the car and we stopped at the bus at the caravan park. We lifted it out of the boot and we put it in the basin of the bus.
At this point, I want to introduce a new character to the story. We were recording this episode in a studio and Bep's son had come along to watch. His name's Lance, and he was 8 years old when his parents brought home this gold nugget and placed it in the basin of their bus. And I asked Lance to jump on the microphone and tell us what he remembers.
So I remember walking in the bus and seeing Brendan washing the nugget with a toothbrush in the sink.
Yeah.
And it was gold. And then I remember running outside and telling my sisters, Dad found this nugget. It's this big.
And you were holding your hands out really wide. Like a fisherman who's found
a fish, yeah.
What happened next is that Bep ran to the caravan next door to find her friend Ina. As they told me, Ina wasn't a talker, so they knew they could trust her. But they also knew that Ina had connections in the gem world, and she'd know someone who could help them sell the nugget. And sure enough, Ina knew a guy named Cyril Kovac, who was one of the biggest gem dealers in Australia. So they got on the phone to Cyril, who agreed to drive up on Sunday. Now keep in mind, this is Friday, so they just had to guard the nugget for 48 hours.
We didn't sleep all night, Kevin and I.
Just excitement.
Ah, it's just everything going through your head. You know, all of a sudden you're supposed to be rich and got all this money and we are working in dollars and cents and now all of a sudden this could be worth $1 million. So we didn't sleep. So the next night I gave Ina, I said, you sleep with it because I can't sleep.
Bep says they also spent the whole weekend smoking cigarettes just to dull the nerves.
We were smoking at the time. We went through a whole carton of cigarettes and cups of tea Saturday and Sunday. Oh, we were nearly sick from smoking and cups of teas.
Because you were just talking about...
We were just looking and picking at it and yeah, it was a very emotional couple of days. And I remember a friend of ours come to the door of the bus and he said, look what I found. And he found his first nugget. And we know what it is like to get your first nugget. And I said, oh, fantastic. David was his name. Fantastic, David, look at that nugget. But you think, oh, my God, that's a small bit of gold. Because I've got 27 kilos in the...
You should see what we've got.
Yeah, well, you see, but you've got to pretend.
Hey, so we're just going to stop here for a quick ad break, but stick around because we'll be right back with more What It Was Like.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's Amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Voluma XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finally on Sunday, Cyril the gem dealer rolled up in his car to evaluate and weigh the nugget. Only it was too big to fit on his regular scales, so he had to use wool scales, which they sourced from someone at the car park. And the weight, 27.2 kilograms. And that's 60 pounds for our friends in America. And I just want to emphasize how comically large this thing is. There are all these photos of Bep and Kev posing with the nugget. You can look at these online. And Kev looks like he's holding up an extremely heavy golden toaster, like one of those deluxe kind of four slice toasters, except that it's long and a bit knobbly. Anyway, so after that, the gem dealer rolled the nugget up in a towel and placed it in the boot of his car and drove down to Melbourne to put it up for sale.
And people say, you've only just met this man and you just let him drive off with $1 million nugget. No worries. You know who's in charge. Before Huey left, he had a piece of paper and he wrote down, advanced $10,000in exchange for him taking the nugget. Yeah? So we had $10,000. And then the next morning, we went to the bank and Kevin presented this check of $10,000. And the boy comes back and he said, this insufficient funds, sir. And Kevin said, go to the manager of the bank in Melbourne. And then he came back second time. How would you like that, sir? Because the manager in Melbourne at that precise moment was on. Huey came in with that nugget to the manager in Melbourne, the bank, and they were just looking at the nugget when they asked the question, you know.
And the manager was like,
the manager said, yeah, just go.
These guys are good for it.
Yeah.
What happened next was that Bep and Kev took the kids shopping with their 10K advance. And I just want to highlight what an unusual event this was for the family. Until then, Bep had been cleaning the caravan park's toilets in lieu of paying rent. Lance had also mentioned that their staple dinner was often carrot soup. And now, Bep told everyone that they could get new clothes and choose one toy. And Lance told me that he'd chosen one of those, remember those like long plastic arms with a claw and you can open and close it? Anyway, and as for Bep, she got herself a new dress.
Tell me about the dress.
I walked in the shop in a boutique in jeans and T-shirt, and I looked probably one from the bush.
Yeah, you've been living in the bush.
the dresses down there, they were all $300, $400, $500, $600. But
was it like a designer brand? Or?
Yeah, of course, something like that. And I don't ask me what I paid for it, but I did get a dress.
This is like the scene in Pretty Woman. Where Julia Roberts goes into the shop and they kick her out because she's not posh enough.
Yeah, exactly like that. But this was real. This is not a movie.
After that, it was time to sell the nugget. Their gem expert ran the process. But basically, what happened is that he put the word out and waited for offers. Sovereign Hill, which you might know is the Gold Rush Museum in Central Victoria, they offered to buy it, but they didn't have enough money. Then there was an offer from a guy who had the money, but the police quietly called up Bep and Kev and told them that this guy had a history of passing fraudulent checks. And a little side story here that's very amusing. The police set up a little sting by promising this guy that they'd sell him the nugget, and then they arrested him at the handover. Anyway, the best offer, fittingly, came from the Golden Nugget Casino in Las Vegas. They offered $1 million in US dollars in cash, which is about $3.5 million in today's money. And the Hilliers took the offer, and the nugget was flown to the casino, where it's still displayed in a glass cabinet to this very day.
So how long did the money last for?
Last for? Oh, it's still lasting.
It's still lasting?
It's still lasting. I'm still living quite comfortably, and the kids are all well.
Okay. And so a casino in Vegas bought your nugget.
Yeah.
Have you seen the nugget since?
Yeah. 10 years later, Kevin and I made a trip down to Las Vegas. And we walked in the hotel, and it's sort of down off the side, and there's all glass case, and there's the nugget turning around and around. And we went to the fellow behind the desk. He said, "Oh, we found a nugget." He said, "Oh, yeah."
You'd heard that one before.
They didn't really believe that, yeah. Or they had heard it before. And so, yeah, it was unbelievable that we actually sat down and dug that up in the bush, and it is...
What is it? Was it a weird...
Yeah, very weird.
I mean, was it weird, though, because you'd found it in such a rustic,
yeah,
kind of lo-fi setting. It had probably sat in the dirt there for,
yeah,
millions of years.
Yeah.
And then you see it years later in this sort of gaudy hotel setting in Vegas.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a journey.
Yeah. It is... as I said, it was really unreal, and we couldn't... I said to Kevin, you know, we dug that up. Look at the opulence. You know, it is really unreal that it was us who actually sat down on our knees and lifted that out of the ground. It was sort of like they were separated, you know, that part and that part didn't seem to have a connection anywhere.
So that's the story of the nugget. But I promised you that this story was about luck. And I'm keen to get onto that with Bep. But as you'll hear, her and I have very different views on how that piece of gold came into their lives.
Oh, luck. Have God on your side and miracles happen.
Okay, well, so I'm not a very religious person.
No.
I'd describe myself as...
I'll bet you're a good man, though.
I try my best. Yeah. But I'm sort of, I don't know, spiritually agnostic, I guess. So when I hear you telling this story and I hear a set of very unlikely circumstances coalescing in, you know, riches, as in it wasn't preordained, it was just lucky. That's kind of the story that I hear. But you interpret it very much as, you know, this was a destiny. You know, your husband had this dream. So it feels like these are stepping stones that are very much placed there so that you could find this nugget. I think it's... What do you think about my perception that it was just blind luck?
You're not the only one. You're not the only one. And nobody can change that.
But I think, I guess what I'm suggesting is that pure coincidence is beautiful and astonishing just on its own. I don't think I need a sense of divine around it to just appreciate just how, you know, this is the glory of the universe working. Even if I don't believe in a God, it's still amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. That's right. Mm. Yeah.
Well, he made it, but you think it's come from nothing. So I don't know how you explain your reasoning.
Yeah, so we didn't really come to an agreement on the God thing, but that's okay. I think it was actually Bep's son Lance who made a very interesting point right at the very end of the conversation, because he argues that the nugget isn't actually the headline of the story.
The thing that gets me most of the time is when I think about that dream and I think about that drawing, it's so similar to the nugget that's the mystery for me. You know, that's the real rub here that I can't get past and I can't decipher, or because I'm a real scientist, you know.
You're not religious?
I'm not, I wouldn't say that I'm religious.
Okay.
No.
So for you, the miracle isn't finding the gold. The miracle was like dreaming of finding, you know, predicting the gold.
Well, yeah, the story. To actually draw a picture of it that's so similar. That's
bizarre.
That is bizarre.
That is uncanny.
I just want to say here that I'm ending with Lance because I really like and trust him. He's my kind of guy. Like, he's my kind of skeptic. He's just a regular Australian bloke trying to get his head around this thing that he's pretty sure happened, but shouldn't have happened. And I found Lance very, I don't know, believable. I think the odds of dreaming up a nugget that looks like the one you're about to dig up 12 days later, the odds on that are just about negligible. And I've been puzzling about this ever since. And I guess Kevin did too, because right at the end of the conversation, Bep admitted that her husband had never been a religious man until he found the nugget.
That was the instigator of him turning to God in the end. He always called it a sacred place where he found a nugget. He's buried there. He wanted to be buried there. He
said, really?
It's a bit of a sacred place to me. So, yeah.
I mean, you said that when you were digging up the gold, you know, you were both crying. Was that because you were just aware, really aware in that moment, how much it was going to change your world? Or was that because it had a spiritual kind of connotation?
Yeah, more and more that other way, I think. It was not because I was saying, oh, now, well, Kevin said we're going to be filled with it. But that was not really my emotion, I don't think. I think it was the emotion the spiritual side.
As Bep said, Kevin was buried where he found the nugget. And you can visit the spot, although, honestly, it's kind of unremarkable. Picture some thin eucalyptus and lots of red dust tucked behind an old building that used to be a primary school. There's a log seat for people to sit on, and a little stone memorial where the gold was found. And there at the base of the memorial is a plaque that Bep had made, and it reads, "In loving memory of my dear husband, our wonderful dad and Opa." And I think the fact that Kevin chose to be buried there says a lot, that even if you don't believe in prophetic dreams, this place clearly became a kind of spiritual anchor point in Kev's life. I mean, however you cut it, this little patch of bush delivered this family a gift that changed their lives. And I guess that's kind of a miracle. If you've enjoyed today's episode and you're thinking, hey, I've got a story that's pretty cool, something that could work for this show, you know, something interesting but surprising, a little bit unique, please get in touch, hit me up. I'm always looking for story suggestions or feedback or, you know, whatever you got. I'm Julian Morgans on Instagram and Morgans Julian on X. And you know what? We'd love you to follow the show. You know the follow button on whatever your podcast app is. Just press that. We'll be eternally grateful. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. Just a simple 5 stars should do it. You don't even have to overthink it. Today's episode was produced by Rachel Tuffery. It was edited and mixed by Nicholas Feliciano. Jimmy Saunders did our theme music. Our cover art is by Naomi Lee Beveridge. And this whole thing has been a Super Real production.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.